Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to send another helper just like me. And of course, that's the Holy Spirit. He sent the Holy Spirit who is with us and who brings us that experience of Christ, his fullness, that grace and truth, that experience with him, that knowledge of him. And that all begins by embracing him, receiving him.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the Gospel of John. Join us as Pastor Brian concludes his teaching on John chapter 1, verses 1, 14, and 16 through 18, in a message titled, The Tabernacle of God is with Men. Now here's Pastor Brian.
Here was a place where the veil was sort of pulled back and the glory of God shone through the humanity of Christ. And you remember, there was Jesus on that Mount of Transfiguration, and his appearance was like light, and his clothing was white as snow. And Peter and James and John were there, and they knew that they were having this experience with God himself. And so here was a moment when the glory was seen. It was also seen slightly, but significantly and powerfully in the Garden of Gethsemane. You remember when they came to arrest Jesus in the garden and they said, we're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus said, I am. And we read that they all fell to the ground. And it was that demonstration of his power. It was that manifestation of his glory. And so the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. Now, we read a little bit further down that the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Now, John is not implying that truth did not come from Moses. He's not implying that the law wasn't true, but the law only revealed part of the truth. You see, what John's point is to show that Jesus brought God out into the clear. He brought God's plan out into the clear. There's no longer any ambiguity. Everything is very clear to us now. So that's what he means. The law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. You see, the law only told part of the truth. It only told of the inflexibility of God's requirements and the judgment that would come upon those that sinned. But you see, it didn't fully disclose that God would put himself under those very requirements, keep them perfectly, and then give his life as a sacrifice for those who sinned. That was all hidden in the law. That was hidden in the Old Testament, but it wasn't fully disclosed. So Jesus comes and he brings all of this out now into the open. You see, apart from the New Covenant and the revelation of the New Testament, the Old Testament is a riddle. It is an unsolvable riddle. You can't really figure it out. And thus, the Jewish people to this day are in that place of not really understanding God's plan, not really knowing what it is that God is doing or what was he doing in the past. We thought he was doing a certain thing, but evidently maybe he stopped doing it. And the whole thing about God and his covenant and all that, to the Jewish mind today, it's all a big mystery. Because you see, the missing piece of the puzzle is the New Testament. And because they've rejected the New Testament, they don't really understand what their own scriptures are saying. Jesus, he's the missing piece. And so grace and truth have been brought to us through Jesus Christ. Now, think about these two things, grace and truth. Grace is man's greatest spiritual need. Our greatest need spiritually is for grace, because all have sinned. All have sinned. We have, all of us, already become disqualified for heaven. We're already disqualified. It's not a matter of, I might be getting close. I better watch out. I better turn in a new direction and try to do more good things than bad so it'll all work out in the end. No, it's too late. We're already, all of us, disqualified for heaven. We can never undo all the evil that we've done. It's an impossibility. So what does that mean? It means that any hope of saving myself or any hope of working my way into God's favor is out of the question. What does that tell me? It tells me I need grace. I need God's grace. What is grace? Grace is God's favor undeserved. That's what grace is. It's the favor of God poured upon a life of a person who does not deserve it. That's every person. Nobody deserves the blessing of God. Grace is quite often referred to as unmerited favor. Favor that you do not earn. Unmerited favor. But somebody said, and I think they're right, it's more than unmerited favor. It's favor against merit. Because it's not only that we haven't earned salvation, we have actually earned damnation. We've earned just the opposite. But God, through Jesus Christ, He has brought us grace. Man's greatest spiritual need is for grace. Man's greatest practical need is for truth. Think about that. You cannot live without truth. Now, lots of people are trying to live without truth. That's why life is so miserable for them. That's why life is so frustrating for them. That's why they are making everybody else's lives miserable. That's why the world is such a mess, and it's getting more messed up each and every day, because people disregard the truth. They say, there is no truth. We just do whatever we want. Whatever feels good to me is what I do. Whatever feels good to you, you do that. Now, if people really start living like that, in the total sense, you have utter social pandemonium. You can't even have society. If people really, truly embrace relativism and take it to its extreme, it results in anarchy. You see, we need truth. We need to know the truth about God. We need to know the truth about ourselves. We need to know the truth about life and how it is to be lived. And of course, that's all the stuff that God has communicated to us through His Word. And Jesus has brought to us this grace and this truth. And we read here in verse 16, and of His fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. Now remember, He was full of grace and truth. And now John says, and of His fullness we have all received grace for grace. So Jesus comes full of grace and truth. And John says, we who believe in Him, we have received that grace. That grace that He's full of that fullness, we have received. The picture is that of an endless supply of grace. Now, here's something that we have to understand about grace. We have to understand that grace is not just a word. It's not just a theological term. Grace is the power of God that is supplied to us through Jesus Christ abundantly so we can live to the glory of God. See, that's the beauty of the Christian life. The Christian life is not like any other religious system in the world. Every other system of religion basically has a moral code, an ethical code, a list of rules, commandments, things that you should do and not do, and so forth. That's not Christianity. That's not the essence of it anyway. Although there are those elements to it, that's not the essence of it. The essence of the Christian life is that the power of God lives inside of me and flows from me and enables me to live the kind of life that God requires me to live. And there isn't another religion on the planet that has that as a part of its system. Every other system puts the person in the position of doing their best to try to attain to the standard that is set there. But the scriptures tell us in advance that all of our best efforts fall far short of what God requires. But that God has done something. He has come and he's brought us this endless supply of grace, and he infuses that grace into us, not a theoretical term, but an actual power. And that's what we're talking about here, an endless supply of grace. And here's the idea, that you come back to be replenished over and over and over and over and over again, all throughout your life. As often as you feel you're running low on grace, you just go back to the Lord and say, Lord, fill me up. I need a new filling of grace. And he's there to do that. Of his fullness, we have received. You know, you don't have to worry about God running out of grace for you. You don't have to worry about emptying the supply. You can go over and over and over again. All of us can. All of our lives. Of his fullness, we have all received. I was reading a sermon by a man named Alexander McLaren, and he said something that I thought was quite profound. I want to read you a paragraph. In regard to of his fullness we have all received, he said this. He said, in order that the divine fullness might belong to us, there was needed that the Word would be made flesh. And there was further needed that incarnation should be crowned by sacrifice and that life should be perfected in death. The alabaster box had to be broken before the house could be filled with the fragrance of the ointment. The sack, the coarse spun sack of Christ's humanity, had to be cut asunder in order that the wealth that was stored in it might be poured into our hands. God came near us in the life, but God became ours in the death of his dear Son. Incarnation was needed for that great privilege. We beheld his glory, but the crucifixion was needed in order to make possible the more wondrous prerogative of his fullness have we all received. God gives himself to men in the Christ whose life revealed and whose death imparted him to the world. Through the death of Christ, he has given us himself. And you see, that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about his fullness and this grace that has come to us and this truth. But, you know, it's not disconnected from him. It's in him. It's all part of him. And what we really have is, again, it's this relationship. See, that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about church. We're not talking about duty. We're not talking about a bunch of rules. We're talking about a relationship with a person. The greatest person in the universe. All of us probably have a person or two or three or however many that you really like to be with. You just love being around that person. They're so fun and they're so witty and they're brilliant and they're, you know, all of the things that make our relationship enjoyable? Well, Jesus Christ is the greatest person in the universe and beyond. Nothing can match him. He's God. And that's what we've received. We've received him. And we have this relationship with him, and we can cultivate this relationship with him, and we can have experiences with him. We can spend time with him, and he talks to us, and he reveals himself to us. You know, sometimes I have to confess that in the ministry, I just get so caught up in all the duties, all the things that I do. Oh, I got to do this today. I've got to see those people. I've got to call this. I've got to go do that. I've got to, you know, and all of this stuff. And it's easy to just sort of get wrapped up in all of that and forget about the person. And then you come back and you think, man, I'm exhausted. I'm worn out. I'm so weary. And Jesus is there all the time saying, come to me, you who are weary. Join yourself to me. I will give you rest. You see, it's a relationship. That's what is being described here. And then John goes on and he tells us this. He says, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son is our translation. But a better translation, interestingly, is not the only begotten Son, but the only begotten God is literally what the Greek says. The only begotten God who is in the bosom or who is in the heart of the Father, he has declared him. So hear this statement. John says, no one has seen God at any time. Now, that creates a bit of a dilemma because you go back to the Old Testament and you find that there were occasions when people saw the Lord. Abraham sat and had lunch with the Lord. You can read about it in the 18th chapter of Genesis. And Moses saw the Lord, and the prophets saw the Lord. At least it seemed that they did. But when he says no one has seen God at any time, he's talking about seeing God in his essence. You see, what they saw was a manifestation of God, but they never did see God in his essence because, as Paul said, God dwells in the light that no man can approach. And Moses, in chapter 34 of Exodus, he says to the Lord at one point, he says, Lord, let me see your glory. He was asking, I want to see you in your essence. I don't want to see just an image of you. I want to see you. And you know what God said to Moses? He said, Moses, I'll put you in the cleft of the rock and I'll cover you with my hand and I'll pass by you and you will see my afterglow. That's where we get that term, afterglow. He said, but you can't see me, Moses, because nobody can see me and live. And that's what John is telling us. No one has seen God in his essence, but the only begotten God. Here's a clear statement, again, referring to the deity of Christ. He's the only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, who is in the heart of the Father. He has revealed him, declared him. Jesus Christ has brought God out into plain view. That's what John is telling us here. The word declared or revealed is a word that means just that. We have terms that we use in regard to Bible teaching and preaching. We have a term exposition. We have a term exegesis. To exposit the scriptures means to bring them out into the open, help people to understand them. Exegesis means a similar thing. That's the word that's used here in the Greek regarding what Jesus did. He brought God out into plain view. That's what John is telling us. So that we need not be puzzled today about who God is or what he's like. Well, so many people are curious. Well, I wonder what God is like. What do you think God is like? If I could ask God a question, I wonder what he would say about this or that. Well, look no further. Jesus Christ has brought God out into plain view. And when you look at Jesus, you see God. When you listen to Jesus, you hear God. When you worship Jesus, you're worshiping God. He's the only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father. And just as the tabernacle was a foreshadow of Christ's first coming, So the incarnation, the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us, is a foreshadow of something yet in the future. Turn with me to Revelation 21. We'll close with this. Remember, the Word became flesh and set up his tabernacle among us. And we had that experience. Those men had that experience for that brief period of time. There he was tabernacling among them. And of course, by the Spirit, he is with us today. But listen to Revelation 21 in verse 1. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. You see, there's coming a day in the future when the tabernacle of God will be permanently erected amongst men. And we will be there with the Lord, dwelling in his very presence forever. But in the meantime, until we get there, the Lord is with us today. And because he pitched his tent among us, of course, he ascended back to heaven. But remember, when he ascended back to heaven, he sent the Spirit. Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to send another helper just like me. And of course, that's the Holy Spirit. He sent the Holy Spirit who is with us and who brings us that experience of Christ, his fullness, that grace and truth, that experience with him, that knowledge of him. And that all begins by embracing him, receiving him, asking him to come in and take over your life like I did several years ago and like many of you did. But isn't it a wonderful thing that the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us, and that we've beheld his glory, and that that grace and truth are there in him and they flow out abundantly to us? Let's just keep coming back to the Lord over and over. Maybe you feel like, you know, you've come here, you're kind of condemned, you failed, you've had a bad week or a bad month or maybe a bad year. And maybe you're just thinking, you know, there probably isn't really any grace left for me. Not me, you know, maybe somebody else, but not me. Don't you believe it? There's an endless supply. And you just come back to Jesus and say, Lord, forgive me and pour that grace upon me, and he'll do that for you tonight.
Let's take a quick break and listen to what Pastor Brian and his wife Cheryl are saying about this month's resource on Back to Basics.
Cheryl, for this month's offer, we have a great book that's called The Story of Grace, Beyond the Iron Curtain. And this is written by a friend of ours, Phil Metzger, and it kind of chronicles the story of how the Lord actually led us to go behind the Iron Curtain many years ago and to begin to preach the gospel and plant churches.
I love this because Phil not only includes the stories, but he has these great little lessons of faith in every chapter. Yeah. There is just so much, and it's so rich. I love Phil's style of writing too, because it pops. Yeah. It just pops with excitement and it's bursting with personality and passion.
Yeah, it's a fascinating story with a lot of personal detail and a lot of amazing personal testimonies.
Thanks, Pastor Brian and Cheryl, for sharing about this month's resource. You can order the book titled A Story of Grace Beyond the Iron Curtain by Phil Metzger by going to our website, backtobasicsradio.com. Scroll down until you see the photo of the book, A Story of Grace, and then click the donate button. When you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you this book by Phil Metzger, journaling a story of hope in the midst of hardship. a story of mercy in the darkest hour, culminating into a story of God's amazing grace. It's our way of saying thank you for your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the Gospel of John. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.